I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. You know what? I already have the giggles, and I don't know why, because we're going to talk about kind of a solemn topic. But we're very happy to have on the phone with us today Deacon Rod Walker. Deacon Rod Walker is a deacon at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church in Hastings. He's a deacon with the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis and has been, is it 2 years, Deacon Rod?
A little over a year.
A little over a year. You know, you've been wearing that collar for so long, you kind of had me all... don't you wear it a year before you actually can or something?
No, deacons typically don't wear theirs until ordination. Priests typically do, but I don't know. I don't know why deacons don't, but they don't. So at least in this diocese anyway.
Well, we are thrilled that you are not only a deacon, but to be one in your own home parish must really be a treat.
Yeah, it is. It's just been an incredible blessing. It's not been the normal to do that when new permanent deacons are assigned. Typically, they haven't been assigned to their home parish, but Archbishop Hebda made a little exception this year, or in 2019. We were ordained in December of 2019, and 3 of the 10 of us were assigned in our home parishes. And I know the 3 of us that are have just had incredibly blessed experiences. So I suspect that down the road that might become a little more common, which I think is a really good thing.
So you really ran into your deaconhood, and then COVID hit. Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Just really getting started, and then it was like over. It's kind of the best way to put it. It was just like over. I mean, we couldn't do anything. And that was pretty difficult for me spiritually. I was struggling quite a bit. But then, I just spent more time praying about it and thinking, okay, I can't just sit here and do nothing. What can I do? And then little things just started cropping up of things I could do. And call people and just talk to them, and say, hey, how you doing? Do you need anything? Especially some of the seniors in the parish that I knew that were maybe alone. And so did some of that. And then when the weather got a little bit warmer, I just had this sense that I should be out blessing people's homes. And so I did that in kind of between Easter and Pentecost, that 6-week period there. And I ended up blessing 36 homes and families of the homes. And we did that outside, and it was always, all those times I visited homes, it was just a gorgeous day. And so it was such a treat to be there with them and get to know people a little bit better, in the parish, even though I've been in the parish, some people I just don't know all that well. So I got to know people better, and it was a great, the best way to put this is they were so pleased to have someone come. And there was a family that told me later that said she really, the girl was maybe fourth grader. And afterwards, she told her dad, she said, oh, it felt like God came to visit us today. Mm. That's not me. that's not me at all. But I was at least able to bring maybe that spirit of God to their home. And she felt that. And so that was just a really good thing.
I think those tangible things of outreach are really what makes people want to engage on a deeper level in their faith.
I totally agree. And it's... this whole pandemic thing is—it just kind of has everybody so closed in, and I'm kind of I was sick of that, tired of it a long time ago. I am really tired of it now, and so I'm looking forward to the time when it's safe, to really start having some gatherings with people, and so people can actually reengage. The Christian faith is based on community. That's one of the foundational purposes of Christianity. And, you know, we just haven't been able to fully do that. And you know, the technology has been wonderful. If this would have happened 10 years ago, it would have been so much more difficult for people. But, you know, like the Zoom and all those things, and that helps a lot. But it's still not the same. And we're intended to be in community as human beings. So hopefully that can happen soon.
You know, I heard so many good things about your house blessing. Do you think that's something you might do again this year?
Yeah, I think I will. Again, you know, between Easter and Pentecost, I think I'll work on that and get that set up and get it communicated out. I think it was well worth my time for sure, and I think everybody really appreciated it. So, yeah, I certainly look forward to doing that again.
So tell us a little bit about the significance of Lent. We are talking on Ash Wednesday, and we will be receiving ashes if we're able, and if we're not, is that a problem?
No, it's not a problem at all, and especially this year, it's not a problem. It seems rather odd that, you know, Ash Wednesday isn't a sort of a mandatory, if you will,
holy day
in the church. Holy day, yeah, that's the better word, term for it, sorry. Holy day of obligation or something like that, but it's not. And so the fact that some people may not be able or feel comfortable going to church to get their ashes, there's no problem with that whatsoever from the church's perspective. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton will be live streaming the Ash Wednesday Mass. The Mass time's a little bit different. It's 6:30 p.m. They're also having 8 a.m. Mass in person. And those masses were required reservation, but there's overflow in Mother Seton Hall where there'll be video in there, and you'll be able to receive ashes in there as far as I understand. But anyway, yeah, absolutely no worries about that.
What is the significance of the season of Lent in the Catholic Church?
Well, Lent is really, it's our time to really focus on three things, deepening our prayer life, fasting, and then almsgiving. Those three things really are tied together as part of Lent. And if you think about it, you know, it's 40 days of Lent. The 40 days relate directly to Christ's time in the desert as he was doing at least two of those things, praying and fasting. And the reason Jesus was in the desert was he was asking God to help clarify for him what God's desire was for his mission. And, you know, we really, each one of us absolutely has a mission. God sent us here for a purpose. And so the 40 days of Lent just really help us just kind of pause and say, you know, maybe I could pray a little more. Maybe I could eat a little less. Maybe I could be a little more generous with my time or perhaps even with my resources, my financial resources and things like that. So it's just this really good, just like pause time. And I think most Christian communities would see it that way, the same way.
And how does it differ in your eyes as a preparatory time frame? How does it differ from Advent?
They're very similar. They're both times of preparation, and they're both considered penitential seasons in the church. But I think, you know, the one way to look at this is that, you know, Easter is kind of the pinnacle of the Christian faith. You know, Christ dies, he's resurrected, and then he ascends into heaven. And so I always see, personally, I see Lent as this more focused period of preparation for the big events, you know. And, you know, at Advent, we're preparing for the birth of Christ, which is also very big. But the Easter season really identifies, it's the fulfillment of Christ's mission on earth. He came for that purpose. He came to free us from original sin and from our own sins and give us that path back to eternal life, back to heaven with him.
You mentioned our purpose on life. Do you think everybody has a different purpose?
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. We, you know, as individual as our fingerprints are, I think as individual as our purpose is in life. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people live their life, and I certainly did for long periods of my life, not really even giving too much thought to that. It's like, well, I'm here, and I've got a job, and I go do my thing, and I've got my family, and you know, we're doing our best and we go to church on a regular basis, but it's so much, you know, it's so much more than that. And I think really Lent is a great time to really just say, God, what purpose do you have me here for? Am I on the right track? Am I way off track? And it's really about developing that conversation with our Heavenly Father. You know, he knows why he has us here. And he will reveal that to you. He'll reveal it to each of us in his own time. But I think we really need to get to the point where we need to do two things. We need to ask and we need to listen, and maybe three things. We need to be patient. You know, in our kind of fast-paced world, a lot of people just simply don't have patience for that, right? I'm going to ask you, God, if you don't give me an answer right now, I'm going to go do it myself. You know, and that really just causes sometimes a lifetime of unnecessary pain and suffering. Certainly God calls us for pauses, and Lent is a great pause.
You know, I like when you say it like that. It's a good time to reflect. I think when we were growing up, and you and I are about the same age, Lent sometimes was a time to deny ourselves completely. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's doing more positive things as well.
Yeah, I mean, the church has its guidelines on Lent, and, you know, it's really, maybe in the last, I don't know, maybe 20 years, there's this other sort of dimension of it where the church also says it's great and it's good to do some positive things too. And that's probably would be under the blanket or the umbrella of the almsgiving. So, you know, people sometimes really don't focus that much on the almsgiving. And so, like, you know, giving some of your time in ways that you hadn't done in the past, that gets a little more focused, I think, these days than some of the other two aspects of it. But I think they all three are very intertwined and very important, and they work together. So I guess I just recommend look at it as a three-way blending of those three things of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Just don't focus on one. Otherwise, you're going to kind of be missing the fullness of the season, I would say.
So how would you recommend that people start? Maybe there's somebody that is listening and says, you know what, I do want a really meaningful way to celebrate Easter this year, regardless of what their faith is. How would you recommend they start to find the purpose of their life?
I would recommend this. I would recommend finding a Bible. And, you know, there's just so many different versions of the Bible. And so, you know, what's the best version of the Bible for you? The one you're going to pick up and read. And that's a kind of a quote from a local guy named Jeff Cavins. And I absolutely believe that. Don't get so wrapped up in, oh, this is grandma's Bible and it's just difficult to read. Well, if that's the case, then just go find a different one. You know, just go out on Amazon and look for Christian Bible and look for one that might be easier for you to read. You know, I personally use the Revised Standard Version, the Catholic edition, which is, you know, easily attainable, and I think it's the paperback's $12, $14, $15 or something like that on Amazon. I actually have a couple of them because I tend to take notes in there, and then I kind of scribble it up sometimes so I get myself a clean one. But the key is to really just start reading Scripture, and you go, okay, well, a lot of people will start, of course, with Old Testament at Genesis, and then they get through that. And I think a lot of people go, well, that's a pretty interesting story. And, you know, and you have to kind of understand the genre of that. It's not a scientific document. But I think that all aside, for the season of Lent, I think it's just so beautiful to pick up in the Gospels, the four Gospel writers in the New Testament. And, you know, Luke tends to be a little more historically pointed, the Gospel of Luke. So, you know, that may be a good place to start. But certainly Matthew, Mark, and John, any of the four. And you just say, you know what, I'm just going to start there. And then it's not like reading a novel. It's more like reading from your heart and take your time. I know there are times when I've read Scripture where I can sit on a sentence for, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes and just go, God, what are you saying to me? And it's amazing. It's always so amazing to me that if I take that time and I slow myself down and I don't read it like I'm reading a novel or a textbook, God speaks through those words in just incredible ways. And I can set that down and I can come back to it a week later and look at that same phrase. And he says something very different. And it's just this eternal speaking that he has the ability to do through his own words. And he touches again, each one of us in our own way. Two people will pick up that same phrase. They will never interpret it the same way. And that's not the intent of it. It's God speaking to us through his son and through the Gospels, in that case, through his son. And it's just a beautiful thing to experience. And unfortunately, a lot of people kind of struggle with that, especially maybe older Catholics that were like, well, that isn't really our thing. You know, that wasn't so much a thing in the church, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. Well, trust me, it's a thing now. over the last 10 to 15 years, it's become kind of a thing, and it's a very good thing. And I know some of the seniors may not be very familiar with some of this technology out there, but there is so much excellent content out there, out on the web. You know, series. I'm trying to think of one. There's a organization called Formed, and they have a 7-part series called The Search. And I just finished watching that, and they're like, you know, maybe a half hour segments each, and it's just beautiful. And they talk about all kinds of different things that really lead us to walking closer with God on our journey. And it's just the host of the show explains things so simply and so easily and so beautifully. So we are not shy of content anymore in the world, thanks be to God. So it's just the simple fact of maybe having someone help you kind of get to the content you're looking for, and hopefully then you can kind of go from there.
Deacon Rod, what do you think your purpose in life is?
Today, right now, to talk to Mo on the radio. There
Excellent.
We go.
I would shoot higher.
Shoot a little higher, okay. Well, so, and the same applies to a priest it applies to everyone. But, you know, when we are discerning ordination, the purpose of that discernment is to determine, is this what God is calling us to, whether that be deacon, priest, religious, in their vows, not ordination per se, but they have their vows, lifetime vows. So, you know, I'm confident my purpose in life is to be a deacon. Now that, you know, it took me 3 or 4 decades to kind of work that around in my life and in my heart and in my head and in all that other stuff. You know, I was ordained in December of 2019, and since that time, God has affirmed it and affirmed it and affirmed it over and over and over again. And so that just brings me peace. And I think when we have true peace in our hearts, that's when we know that we're on the right path. And if there's chaos and confusion, that's the time to pause and just say, okay, God, help me understand this. I feel really just out of sorts. My life isn't going very well. I need to be closer to you, I think. You know, if you can sense that God pulling your heart in through some difficult circumstances, then just pause and pray and say, God, help me become like a daily prayer person, not just when I need you, but let's get to know each other here a little bit better so I can clearly see where you want me to go, because most of us don't do life on our own very well. And God never intended for us to do it alone. He intended to be with us on our journey. The world says that's really a dumb idea. And Deacon Rod says, no, that's a really good idea. And so does the church. It's just a really good idea. In fact, it's the way it's what we were built for. We were built to do that with God and to worship God in that process.
Amen to that, Deacon Rod Walker. Thank you so much for calling in today. Deacon Rod is at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church in Hastings. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need